Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell Saylor.
Hey guys, great to be back.
Good to have you back, big man.
I'm feeling great. I went to Noosa for a couple of days, took one for the team, SCA, so it was great up there.
Triple M Conference.
Conference, so just, mate, selfless. That's what I am, selfless.
Yep, no, that's exactly what people would say about you. How are you, big fella? Like, you've had a couple of weeks off. It's really good to have you back. You're looking fresh.
Yeah, it's been good. It's a good couple of weeks off and obviously spent a bit of time with the family and then just, you know, got some things done and had a little bit of a break, which has been good because usually after Origin, we get a week or two and Triple M were great. So when I asked for 2 weeks off, they were great and had a lot of good messages, a lot of good support and it's good to be back.
No, none more than this team here, so it's great to have you back.
Love
what
you
about
guys.
Australia doing the job over there in Birmingham?
1,000th gold medal is in.
That's easy for you to say. I always say the 1,000th. The 1,000th. Yeah, exactly. Australia became the first country to reach four figures on the second last day of competition in Birmingham, which yielded 7 golds as part of 19 medals over that second last day.
So it was our Aussie Diamonds too.
Aussie Diamonds got the job done. So fantastic. And the Aussie cricket girls, I think, got 999.
Yes.
So they could have easily been happy to get that 1,000th.
Big shout out also to Ollie Hoare, the 1,500 metre. That was one of the most incredible runs.
It really was. And Kelsey Lee Barber is going to be joining us. She won the
javelin.
The javelin. Ooh. Absolutely fantastic. She'll be joining us in the second hour of the show. And I've got to tell you, the Comm Games for me has been a wonderful sort of opportunity to see how many great sports people we have in this country. And it gives them that practice they require to get onto the world stage and really do it when it counts in the Olympics. I know. What are you looking at, Del?
Oh, yeah, look, I respect and appreciate what they do at the Commonwealth Games, but I just think the Commonwealth Games are designed for Australian athletes to win gold medals.
You know, the Commonwealth Games were set up so long ago when the Empire,
and
England were dominant. So that shows how well we've done over the years.
Yeah, we put a lot of money into it too, so yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. There's no doubt. Now, let's talk about what happened on Saturday night. The Raiders lost to an understrength Penrith, and then in the press conference about Jamin Salmon, Ricky Stewart said this.
Yeah, we are. I mean, Fisher, Harris, Taps, they're accidents, you know, and in this collision game, I understand that. But, you know, where Salmon kicked Tommy, it ain't on. And I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
Yeah, you probably heard that more than once over the last couple of days, and we're still waiting for the NRL to come and speak. We don't know if that's going to happen this afternoon or tomorrow, but you imagine the sanctions will be reasonably tough on Stewart. The Raiders have come out. They said, we do not endorse the coach's behaviour, but we understand it. Blah, blah, blah. Being a head coach is a high-pressure job and comes with intense scrutiny from fans, media and the public. We understand emotions is high following the match. So we understand that, and that's probably what they had to say. But Del, you've been in this situation many times. You've been involved in games.
Yeah.
Jude, over 300 games of AFL. Is this the first time I've really seen a coach or heard a coach go personally at someone like that?
That was, for me, when I heard the comments and I saw the comments, because I know Ricky's, you know, he's a passionate sort of bloke. I know he does a lot of good stuff in and around the game, but he just went on a tangent there and he just absolutely gave it to Salmon. So obviously we know there's some history there. Look, I think he's going to get a big fine and I think he understands. He probably, you know, he's a head coach, he's a mentor.
So he can still coach for the next few weeks?
There's whispers that they could give him a couple of weeks as well. We're waiting to see.
Well,
so.
I think Salmon's parents, they want some action taken, which I understand.
Well, they're looking after the mental fitness of their youngster at the moment, who's been basically, you know, nothing's been proven and Ricky's absolutely given it to him.
Even the statement from the Raiders saying, you know, it's a high-pressure job, he's been in this role for so long. How many times would he have stepped up to a press conference with emotions running high, either a referee decision or the like? He's come off the long runner and been so personal. It's just unacceptable.
Yeah,
it's just crossed the line.
But you know this. You work in this space, like, you know, to have a go at a young bloke. And I understand. I've met Ricky's kids. You know, they're beautiful kids and that. But like, it was something that was from 11 or 12 years ago. There's obviously more behind it. But geez, he just didn't miss the kid, did he?
No, he didn't. And you hope that as a coach, and he is emotional, and he coaches that size that way, that he'll learn from it, and he'll get himself better. But what I'm worried about at the moment is young Salmon. You know, because no one knows his side of the story.
Yeah.
And he's been absolutely, I mean, that's one of the worst things you can be called.
Yeah, for sure.
And one of the sanctions could be that Ricky doesn't have to go to media afterwards. I mean, he'd like that. I mean, I don't think he like every time, even if they win, he doesn't look like he's happy to be there to talk that part of, because that's a huge part of the NRL and a huge part of the shows after games is those press conferences. He never, even if they win, looks like he's happy to be there.
You've got to show up. You've got to show up. But it was just something completely out of the box. And it's just
I know he would have been disappointed with his team's performance, but like when he just went and like, well, we've all got, you know, we've all got kids and that, like when you just targeted, and I know that he regrets what he said now, but he's going to get a big fine. And obviously you said he might get a couple of weeks out.
So what would you give him, Dale? Would you give him just a fine? Or would you actually say you're not coached for a couple of weeks? What would you do if you were the head of the NRL?
Probably, mate, he's probably going to have to look at a big fine, I think, because...
Just fine.
Probably give him a game.
A game and a big fine. What would you do, Jude, if you're in charge?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Yeah.
A couple of weeks and a fine?
Yep.
It just sets that stand and that precedence and, you know, it's... And, you know, look, mate, I love Ricky, you know. I think I was a 20-year-old on a kangaroo tour with him and he always looked after me. I saw him actually last month down at Wollongong at the Novotel. I always have good chats. And
oh, mate, we get that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what he did is not good enough. Yeah. So I'd give him a couple of weeks as well to think about it and so forth.
Can I actually say well done to Aaron Woods and Candace Warner. I think they did a really good job because I listened to you guys a few times. They're really good. Bit of room for improvement there, guys, but you did a good job.
Oh, wow. Listen
to this. That's like Jude saying he was McAvaney when he did a bit of commentary a year or so.
I've never said that.
Oh, no, you said you were committee.
Yeah, Dennis committee.
Anyway, guys, what about this Saturday? I'm driving out to Como. The Como Crocodiles
are playing. Oh, I've been out there.
Yeah, they're absolute cracker, right? So we've got a mental fitness lunch. Starts at 2 o'clock, goes for an hour and a half. And then we go and watch the first grade game, right? And then a few beers afterwards. So I say to my mates, I'm going to take the mental fitness truck out, which Isuzu built for us, right? Beautiful truck, but you can drive it with a normal license, right?
Yes.
But it's like a big minivan in terms of size. Oh. So I get all the way from the Northern Beaches, pick up three of my mates, and I'm driving in and I'm pulling into the pub. There's a huge big gap there, but I forget the fact that I'm a little bit longer than normal. So I take out the front right of the car that's parked
just
closest to the gap. I took it out. It's not, the lady could drive it away, but it's a couple of panels and all the lights and stuff all completely smashed, right? So I drive in, drop my mates off. I then drive the truck onto the ground and park it up. I walk up, put a note on the lady's thing because she's not there saying, here's my number, my bad, blah, blah, blah.
I've sideswiped, yeah.
Yeah, I've sideswiped, so forth. Mm. So that's all done. So go in, do the lunch and so forth. Come back down, watch the game. As I'm leaving, big mirrors on this truck. I've smashed the left mirror on the left mirror of another truck that is parked on the same road but on the other side of the road.
You should
not
be on the road.
And I was just about to say to my mates, oh, we'll get through this street. Bang! Bang! And it shattered. Like the mirror just broke into two, fell onto the ground, and everyone right in front of the pub there at Como.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Hit on the way in, hitting something on the way out. So we get out, and I can't see because this mirror is knackered now. So we place it together, and a couple of blokes have got some masking tape and helping us.
Goodness.
Everyone's laughing about it. So I drive off. I hit that mirror on other cars twice on the way home to the Northern Beaches. I have four separate accidents in this car.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Mate,
Stevie Wonder was driving the car.
Yeah. Isuzu just texts. They're not real happy about that either, just quietly. Just text me. They're not happy.
They shouldn't be either. So let's
what are you doing, mate? Like, you're better than that.
I thought I was. I did think I was, but I don't think I am.
Have you seen a worse driver than Gus?
133-53. Have you seen a worse driver than me? Do you know them? Have you seen them in front of you on the roads? Plenty of callers, incredibly. Let's start the ball rolling with Jason. G'day, Jace.
G'day. My worst driver would have to be my wife's father. Now, he was working on his full drive and forgot that he had it in driving gear. So it starts rolling down the driveway and he thinks that he can stop this car. So he jumps behind the car
and
grabs onto the car trying to stop it. It's dragging him down the hill, and here we see him latched to the car, and it rolls across the road into the neighbour's house and takes out the whole front lounge room, brickwork.
Oh no!
And everything. Wow. Yeah.
What's this bloke's name?
Dick.
Oh. Yeah, he certainly is that. Thank you. What about Todd and Kernell? G'day, Todd.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. You got a bad driver?
Yeah. Back in 1980. Oh, this is all. I think this is all going to be about wives. I think back in 1986, the wife took out her dad's big Fairmont, big Ford thing, driving down a little back street of Surrey Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With all the girls going, yeah, I'll make this, and took out 14 cars on the side.
Oh, 14 cars?
What? Not happy with the first one, just to stop, maybe pull over?
Well, once she went through, she was committed.
Good on you, Todd. Let's go to Peter. G'day, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, tell us about the bad driver.
Mate, it took him 6 Ks to get his Ps when he was on his Ls.
Oh.
He rear-ended 2 people in 2 of his tests and actually hit a person on their push bike in another one of his tests.
During the test.
So it didn't go real good during the test, yeah.
Who's your mate? What's your mate's name?
Yeah.
Dave. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Dave, you know who you are. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. When we're talking rugby, we talk to rugby royalty.
Next guest is the best of the best in the world of rugby. And with the Rugby Championship, which started this weekend, we figured he'd be a good dude to talk to about it. He's recognised as the best centre rugby union's ever seen. He played over 11 years, including 2 Rugby World Cups and 80 caps for Australia. He's a Hall of Famer and at one point hosted a show on Triple M with Matt Burke called The Ruck. So he's probably also heard Drive by Incubus a billion times. Whatever tomorrow. Please welcome the Triple M. Tim Horan.
Yeah, how good to have rugby royalty on the show. Tim, how are you, mate?
G'day, boys. Yeah, very well, thanks.
Mate, a few things to get through. We'll start the ball rolling. Michael Hooper leaving the Wallaby Tour. His mindset was the issue. I applaud him. Yeah. And, of course, the Aussies got the job done against Argentina, but that's not as important as the fact that this bloke has given us so much, needs to get his head right, and it needs to be at home to do it.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player, but, of course, off the field's more important than on the field a lot of the times. And, you know, he's obviously just got married not so long ago, had a young baby. So I think just for him personally off the field, just to make sure, and Gus, you've seen all this, of course, you know, with the mental health piece and just the well-being of the player off the field is more important. And it's brave. And Del, you know, you would have seen a bit through your career and just to be able to be brave as a captain of a national sporting team, to put your hand up and say, listen, I just don't feel well. Mm. I'm going to hop on a plane and head back to Australia and get myself right mentally first so that I can get back on the field.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a massive call for him too, because, you know, just before a test match, if you're not right, like, and I applaud him too, because, you know, you're breaking down barriers now, you know.
Yes.
Like, I had a mate, when I reposted on the weekend when I was away, and one of the mates go, I won't say who he is, he goes, it's not hard earning $1 million a year playing for your country, you know. But
that's the attitude we got to change, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I reckon this is really brave from him.
And I think, Del, you would have seen Will Carling, the former captain of England, he said in a bit of a post as well that, you know, people don't realise how much pressure's on a captain, you know, of your sporting country, to, like, not only just the press, but also all the other stakeholders. Everyone wants a piece of you, plus you've got to play, and people often forget you've got a young family at home and you're away all the time. So, you know, I applaud Michael Hooper, and, you know, there's probably, when you look at 5, 10, 15 years ago, probably a lot of other people in the same situation just toughed it out and thought that was the best way to go, and now maybe suffering. But, you know, Michael Hooper's done the right thing and gone home to sort of make sure his well-being's up to scratch.
Absolutely right. I just spent some time with Sir John Kerwin, Tim, and it was
legend.
I mean, talk about a man. He was literally on the top of the world in France, about to make his test debut, and he was opening up a window to jump out of it.
Wow.
That's what was going through his
head.
One of his teammates said to him, what's going on? He started a conversation. He's knighted not so much for his rugby, but for the work that he's done outside of it around the mental fitness, mental health space. And just the most incredible talk, Tim. And if you've got someone like him, Will Carling, Hoops now, other people, rugby has an opportunity to be the gold standard for sport when it comes to mental fitness. And the feel that community is not just about learning how to play rugby, guys, girls, men and women, but actually be an overall person, mentally fit as much as physically fit.
Yeah, it's really important, Gus. You know, it's you know, the last couple of years, it's been the forefront of everyone, not just in you know, professional sport, but all forms of life. And, you know, I saw after the game, James Slipper, who took over the captaincy, he said to the team after, thanks for supporting me, but also thanks for making not just Australian public proud, but making Michael Hooper proud.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful win from the Wallabies. It's probably the best second half performance I've seen team for the Wallabies, probably the last 5 years, where they came back, and Fraser McWright, who wore the number 7 jersey without Michael Hooper there, and great second half performance to show what the Wallabies are like.
Mate, speaking of the Wallabies, mate, Quade Cooper, unfortunately for Quade, yeah. We know he's a real professional, mate. He's fit as, and but he's obviously done his, he's ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it? He obviously, you know, hurt his calf muscle in the warm-up before the first test match against England over in Perth and couldn't play the 3-test match series. And then, you know, just to see him go down like that. And as soon as he looked around, I knew his Achilles was gone, because when you do your Achilles, I haven't done one, thank God, but my son has, and I know a lot of other people who have. And it's like you get hit with a cricket bat in the back of your calf, and you look around to see who's done it, and it's about a 9-month injury. You know, you can get back a little bit sooner, but it's 9 to 12 months till you're back physically fit again. So, you know, World Cup for Quade's going to be pretty close.
Tim, after their loss to the Springboks, the New Zealand have dropped to 5th in the world rankings.
So sad,
can you believe this?
you would never, if you'd said that 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 years ago, you'd get 1,000 to 1 on it, but... You know, we love the All Blacks. Well, we love to hate the All Blacks, but also we're very close to them, of course, with, you know, the rugby championship that's coming up and all the other things that we do across the ditch. But, yeah, it's a shame to see. But that shows you how good the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere have been. Like, you look at France, Ireland, the Springboks, the world champions, how good they're playing at the moment. Like, if you had the World Cup now, Del, and Jude, you'd probably say, you know, France versus Ireland in the final. That's how good those two teams are going.
Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't back against the All Blacks.
No,
they've just got that thing in the back of the mind. You know they're going to come good.
Yeah.
Tim Horan, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. There's no one better to talk about rugby on and off the field, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks, boys. The second test match against Argentina next Sunday morning.
Thanks, mate. We'll make sure we give it lots of love in the lead up. And that is Tim Horan. What about this? An irate fan has crashed into a commentary box during a game of rugby league in the UK to demand a noisy air conditioner unit be turned off in a foul-mouthed tantrum that ended up being part of the...
So with this scene, an error apiece here at Odsall Stadium.
Can you shut this off? Air conditioning unit. It's been racking.
Can you get out of this, please? I don't know.
No!
There's something kicking off here. Not sure what's going on. Do apologise. There's an intruder in the commentary box.
Stop assaulting me! He's assaulting me! Physically assaulting me!
What? Being part of the broadcast, I was about to say. What about that?
That was...
So why didn't the commentator just keep commentating?
He could have drowned him out. He could have drowned him out by just talking over the top and actually commentating the game.
That was during the match, where we heard nothing of that. We just heard the bloke basically being...
He obviously couldn't multitask.
No, he could not. The incident occurred during the Bradford Bulls playing Wokington Town on the weekend in Britain's second-tier rugby league. That would be a average competition, wouldn't you think? And the Super League's been how you're going.
Yeah, that's all right.
Mick... What?
How classic was that? Like, he's assaulting me. He's assaulting
Mick, the game caller, Glenn Hill, was in his usual chair commentating the game when the unknown intruder burst through the door and his demands during live coverage of the match. Like, commentators, they should be commentating, right? But how's a bloke even break into the commentary box? What happens with you boys that you're commentating on the weekend? Can you just walk in the box and start shouting and screaming, or is it you got a bit of security around?
No, some people can. It's happened a couple of times at our core stadium there. People just walk in, sponsors and that, and they just stick their head in. Hey, guys, how are you going?
There's normally a layer of security. There is actually. You've got to show your pass to at least get in there.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. But it's not the worst thing we've heard in broadcast. Let's have a listen
to
this.
Here we go. Head to ccsummershout.com.au. Now, there's so much to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. Mate, what were you thinking? Like, what were you thinking?
.com was what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Still on those sites, eh? Still on those sites.
Let's go again.
Head to ccsummershout.com.au. Now, there's so much to talk about.
Oh, such a good family show.
Let's talk about this Leichhardt over debacle with the safety rail giving way, sending spectators tumbling to the ground. It was a GPS rugby match between Iggy's and St Joseph's. 15,000 crowd, which is huge. For a schoolboy rugby match. There was concussions, bruises, broken bones, and, of course, the blame game has begun, of course, over this overhaul of the stadiums being shelved. Doesn't this show, Dill, that this is a perfect opportunity to put some money into local footy grounds?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we see the kids play there, obviously. You know, I was at Noosa on the weekend and I saw the vision. I thought that was overseas somewhere, but then they said, no, it's at Leichhardt. You know, and I know Peter Volandis is obviously pushing for that money there, and I know there's been a lot of stuff going on the last couple of years, but this is what we need to do, suburban grounds. We need to put some money into them.
Imagine if a kid had actually been killed.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
But I think you can still support flood victims and find different avenues to budget rather than saying, oh, no, we're going to have to re-divert that particular money to suburban grounds. And they've found $300 million for the Penrith one. So
yeah. Well, that's a little bit up in the air too at the moment because it's looked upon as a hub, but it was a minister at the time was running pretty much in his own electorate. So there's a lot around that at the moment. But just imagine if someone had actually died in that situation. And what is a life worth when it comes to this type of stuff?
But even when we look at whenever there's something that happens overseas or somewhere, we find money to help, Arnold's are saying Bali and Thailand and all that. Like, come on, what about our own backyard?
Yeah, and I don't think it's that much money in the overall budget as well.
When you could see the rusted Dyna bolts into the concrete, which had just been bent and just as it folded over, I mean, 30 or 40 people landing on concrete. They are so lucky no more has been done rather than
concussion,
broken bones.
Bruises and broken bones, and the blame game is out there. We've been saying now for a while that suburban grounds not only need money, but that's where you want to watch footy as well. Of course, we're going to enjoy going and watching Souths and Easts at the big new stadium. We love going out to the grand final at Homebush, but nothing like going to Brookie,
love
to Leichhardt, Cogra, those type of grounds because you can actually feel the heat, the hits, and they're about 20 grand, which is on a good day, that's going to pack it out.
And it's an intimate crowd too. So, as a player too, you get there, and even when you work in the media, you can just feel the change and the difference, between a core stadium and obviously, the Allianz . So, yeah.
Exactly right. So we'll keep on to that as well. Time now for this.
Lucky someone in the rush hour can count. This is Dell's Big Set of Six. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're bound to find a bargain at Paddy's. Over to you, Del.
Yeah, exactly right. Paddy's been a huge supporter of us all the way through the program. Let's go, Jude. Tackle one.
Yes, Del. How hard should the NRL come down on Ricky Stewart after his press conference?
Yeah, look, I think, when I heard what was said, I just, as a coach and as a mentor, it's probably not the place, and you'd know more than me, Gus, but Like, I know Ricky's passionate. I remember going 94 tour with Ricky. Mate, I love Ricky. That, for me, that was just something that I just didn't see coming, And just, something that happened like 11 or 12 years ago, there's obviously more to it.
But you've got to be more professional than that. You've got to get to a stage where you go, you talk about your football team, and you've got to be able to leave that there. And if he needs to deal with it outside of it, but of that's course. Not the format, is it?
No, it's not. Especially like, look, man, we all know, we all love our kids and, we all love, what comes with that. And we're all passionate about our families. But, geez, it just wasn't the time, place. And I know, obviously, the game didn't go according to plan, but, geez, that was an almighty spray. So
what does he get? Does he get fined? Does he get not allowed to be on the ground?
I think you got to hit him with a heavy fine. But we're talking about like that young bloke, young Salmon. Like, I'm not sure what sort of transpired there. But even we talk about headspace and mental health and stuff. Ricky called him out. And he didn't miss him, did he?
Tackle two. Are you starting to believe in Parramatta's chances this season? They're 13-7, sitting fifth.
Yeah, look. I think for me, Dylan Brown. We know what he can do. Mitch Moses, obviously, a couple of weeks off, but Dylan Brown he stood up. I got no doubt that the Parramatta, they can go all right, but it's about having the confidence to go through to the finals. At the moment, they've been a bit too hot and cold, but the football they're showing, when they're on, they obviously take it to Penrith and the bigger teams. I got no, anything can happen in the finals, and they've got a good squad. And Mitchell Moses, when he comes back, he's got to step up. I think Dylan Brown, sometimes he takes a backward seat because Mitch Moses is the man. Dylan Brown just got to keep doing him because he's an X factor.
Tackle three, it's a scourge on the NRL, the hip drop tackle. How do we get rid of this action?
Oh, mate, you've got to come down harder. You've got to give blokes 4 to 6 weeks because it's not a good look. You main someone. Look at Jackson Hastings. Like, I know players don't intentionally go out to do it, but I was speaking to Joey Johns at a luncheon, and mate, he's blown up about it. I know he's come out again. But we've got to get rid of it. The game's tough enough and hard enough without those sort of tackles. There's two blokes in a tackle and the third one comes in. It's just something that we don't need in the game. And then what happens is the younger kids see that and they go, oh, it's okay for the NRL players to do it. And this is what we're going to do. So that'll filter down. So we've got to put a stop to it.
Yeah, good call. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's. Now, lots of people have written off the Storm, Del. Are they still a genuine premiership threat, especially with more injuries over the weekend?
Yeah, look, I've learned not to write the storm off. And when you've got a guy like Cam Munster there, obviously, you know, Jerome Hughes, we know what he can do. But I just think even their forward pack now, I'm not saying they're an ageing forward pack, but you can just tell they haven't got that line speed that they used to have. But if anyone can get them to reset and go through to the finals, Melbourne are a team, you know, they might move Cam Munster back to fullback.
He looked all good the other night, didn't he?
He's good enough to do that. Like, so don't write Melbourne off, and especially Craig Bellamy. You know, he's a super coach. He'll come up with a plan B or plan C.
Okay, we've spoken about Parramatta and the Storm. Any other realistic teams that can put pressure on the Panthers? You've got the Sharkies, obviously, there, the Cowboys, the Roosters.
I think the Sharks have got a really good mix. You know, Fitzy was down at that luncheon that I did the other day, and just, you know,
you can find a lunch.
Can find a lunch.
It was a charity lunch, so.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
Matty was there and Joey was there.
Yeah, I saw the table. It looked like trouble to me.
No, it was good. No, trust me, there was no trouble there. But like young Dykes, you know, they've got so many good players. Mulatalo, I like him. Good mix. Dal Finucane, obviously, he's there. And I just think the Sharks, their timing and the way they're playing, it's a good style of football they're playing. Come back in the season. So I think Matty Johns, he thinks it's going to be a Panthers Sharks. Joey and I think Cowboys and Panthers for me.
Wow, there you go. What about the top eight? Do you think it's set now? I think probably Manly and the Dragons have slipped out.
I think it's
You've now got the Roosters and Canberra.
Yeah, I think it's done. I think Canberra done too. Canberra needed a win last week. Look, that game last week, they needed that game. There's obviously a lot of frustration there. They win that game, then they get on with it. Because I think the Raiders have got a very good squad, but they've just been so inconsistent this year.
We're done and dusted.
I think we're done and dusted.
I nearly fell off my chair. You came up with an opinion. It's unbelievable when you stayed with it. Fantastic.
That's what happens when I'm freshened up, mate. I'm ready to go.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. And I want to talk, boys, about my daughter, Ella. And if you haven't listened to her before, she's been away now since January over in London. But the summer over in Europe's been amazing. The weather's been amazing. And all her mates have decided to join her. And they've done Ibiza. They've done the Greek islands. So they've done Italy. And
what happens there?
I live vicariously through Ella's stories.
Oh, so do I. I love Ella.
She is an absolute ripper. And she's got plenty of personality.
Yeah.
But overnight, she outdid herself. Because, Dale, when you're away, she spent $2,400 on my credit card without telling me.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
And all these things, alerts started coming up. I had to ring Bank West and say, oh, no, someone's stolen my car.
Yeah.
Vix is on the line to her going, actually, it's not. It's Ella, you know. So that was the first strike.
What was it on?
Just whatever, you know. Yeah.
Booked a hotel room, booking.
Dinners.
She's life of the party, mate. I love her.
She is the life of the party. Well, last night, so they're on these boats. They're in these Croatia sails, right? So all the 20 or 30 boats all come into port together.
Oh, they raft up.
They're all and they actually coming together and then they got all roped together, right?
Yeah.
So people, young people, having a good time, having a few drinks, are just moving from one boat to the other. So Ella goes over to this other boat. It's a really huge boat, and there's about 600 people on it. So you can imagine how big it is, right?
600?
There's a board.
Wow.
There's
you don't just raft that sort of thing up.
No, well, everything was rafted to that. But Ella goes, that's where the action will be. And the DJ was pumping out the back, and everyone had no gear on. You would have had your shirt off in 5 minutes. Both of you, not just Ella.
I would have been naked.
So, so Ella goes up, and she sees there's a chalkboard there, and it's got all the specials and stuff on it, right? So she goes up, and she's going, you know what, I reckon I can sort of rub a few things off and make a few little changes.
Mm.
It was happy hour, right?
Mm.
So she goes, happy hour between 5 and 6. So she turns the 6 into an 8. Easily done, right? Because the chalk's still there.
Of course.
So all of a sudden it's happy hour from 5 to 8. And then underneath that, it goes shots between 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So the 6 turns in to an 8. Yeah. So all of a sudden, she has got literally happy hour, half price drinks for 3 hours rather than 1 hour. And because it was so chaotic and there was a moot and all the staff were looking at each other going, oh, okay, well.
Keep rolling.
Keep it rolling. Yeah. So they had 3 hours worth of basically half price
drinks.
She's
the best.
She's always thinking outside the box. My sort of girl, I like that.
And even when it's half price, it's still on your credit card. It's even better.
It probably is. Time to talk Comm Games.
Couldn't burn the midnight oil to watch. That's all right. It's a Triple M Rush Hour. Update from Birmingham.
Yeah, haven't we dominated again? Australia real and truly on top. We're going to talk to a world champion and a Comm Games javelin medalist, gold medalist, Kelsey Lee Barber. Welcome to the show and congratulations.
Hey, guys.
How you feeling? You got the job done. You've got a bronze, you got a silver.
Yeah.
Now you've got the gold and you're a world champion. You must be on top of the world.
I think it's finally settling in a little bit today. Yesterday was a bit crazy and a bit of a blur and it all happened very quickly. So I think, I'm definitely starting to enjoy the realization of what I've been able to achieve.
Kelsey Lee was gold, and obviously silver for Australia as well, with Mackenzie Little, who took silver. But I just want to know, like, can you feel it as you're throwing that javelin, like how that you've put one way out there? What does it feel like for our listeners?
Yeah, typically some of my furthest throws, I've definitely known straight out the hand that they've been really clean and lots of energy on them, and you just get to watch them sail, which is the best part of the throw. But yesterday I was a little bit uncertain. I knew I'd hit it hard and I had a really good snap on it, but I just wasn't sure if I had the energy behind me to get the distance. So I was actually a little bit unsure I'd done enough when I walked back.
Kelsey, there's a lot of things I love about athletics and that, but javelin, it's just an awkward sort of action, and it's something that when I was at school and that, I could never throw it. So what made you love it so much and be so good at it?
Yeah, I think I can absolutely understand where you're coming from. But I don't know, I fell in love with the athleticism and the technical elements of the event, and, you know, there was challenges from both physical and, yeah, the technical side that I really, really enjoyed. And there's a part of it that sort of I fit me and I fit it, so it just came together really nicely.
There was so much publicity about you catching, you know, being struck down by COVID on the eve of the Comm Games, Kelsey Lee. I mean, how were you able to just refocus after that sort of period and then deliver what you did on the big stage?
Oh, it definitely came with its challenges. I had some really low days where I wasn't sure what was going to happen and didn't know if I was going to be able to get up for this. But I think I had an awesome team around me, and I absolutely am so grateful to Mike for his planning and preparations and just the confidence he kept instilling in what we'd done the work before Comm Games. And, you know, I definitely had awesome feel for my throw from World Championships, and then the confidence from that as well. I just kept riding through to these games and the competition yesterday. So it was less about the physical preparation and a lot more about the mental preparation.
Last couple of years have been tough for everyone. And of course, you know, having these meets, unfortunately, through COVID sort of restraints, what's it been like back in the village? We've spoken to a few of the swimmers and track outfit athletes over the last couple of days. What's it like just having it back to, in inverted commas, normal?
Yes, this is the thing that I was going to say, is it's so nice to have feel like there's a bit of normality again. And definitely there's a huge sense of like the team coming together and supporting one another. And then again, having people in the crowd and having packed stadiums, like it's what live sport wants and what's what we need. And it's incredible to have it back in full action again.
Do you get a little break now, or what's next for you?
Oh no, I'm actually straight back on the road. I've got a comp on Wednesday night, which is part of our Diamond League circuit. So
amazing.
I'll have a break after that.
Look, it's fantastic, and just feel the happiness and the emotion in your voice. Yeah, we're really, really proud of all our athletes. The fact we got the Commonwealth gold 1,000th gold medal just in the last few hours as well with the diamonds. So it's just been wonderful to watch it, and we hope you've felt the love from back here in Australia.
Yes, most certainly. And I really want to say a huge shout out to everyone who's been supporting the Commonwealth Games. We can feel the love over here. And again, it's so nice. We as athletes are very happy to be able to perform and put on a show, and hope that people back home are enjoying it as much as we are.
You certainly have. You put a big smile on our face. It's been tough back here. So thanks so much, Kelsey.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Here's Kelsey Lee Barber, Commonwealth Games javelin gold medalist. She's got the gold, silver and bronze now, as well as being a world champion.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.